this, I know this is typically a Christmas portion of Scripture, but there's something in it that the Lord laid on my heart to share with our ladies today, especially with our mothers. Everybody say, God bless our mothers. Luke chapter number 2. Amen. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 7 out of the English Standard Version. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Everybody say, a mother's treasures. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Everybody say, a mother's treasures. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And I want to preach for a moment a mother's treasures. Lord, we thank you for the great grace and love that's in this house today. We thank you for the testimonies of healing and the way that you encourage us and keep us. And Lord Jesus, we come to you. Let your word be just perfect. In Jesus' name we pray. What must it have been like to carry a child in your body that was conceived by the Holy Spirit? What must it have been like to have the child still in your womb leap as it was filled with the Holy Ghost? What is it like to have your yet unborn child responding to your voice and to your touch? Well, these are things that only a mother could know. These are her gifts from God, and they are her treasures. Because children are a blessing and a gift from God. Amen. It says in the book of Psalms, chapter 127, verse 3, in the New Living Translation, "Children are a gift from the Lord, and they are a reward from Him." Yes. Amen. There's more in a mother's belly than just a fetus or even a little human. That child is a priceless treasure. They represent a life, a gift, a future, a divine plan, and a chance to change the world. A chance to make it a better place. It says in John 16, 21, that when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. There was a dear mother pushing a shopping cart through Stuff Mart. Her daughter was riding in the shopping cart, but continually screeching and screaming. Apparently there was something the child wanted, and mom had denied the request. The mom kept offering words in a soothing voice. "Now calm down, Ellen. It will be all right, Ellen. It's almost time to go home, Ellen." And one of the checkout clerks observed the scene and how the mother remained calm in the face of the child's storm. To encourage the mother, she said, "Ma'am, you are to be commended. I am amazed at how patient you are with little Ellen." The mom looked up from the child and said, "Her lady, I'm Ellen." She no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. But of course, once the celebration is over, the real work begins. But a mother has something to carry her through the tough times. Mothers carry in their hearts hopes and dreams for the children. While Mary was experiencing the pain of bringing her first child into the world, God was bringing together the angel band for a rousing welcome. What a shocking contrast between the child lying in a feed box and mother resting on some fresh straw and the prophecies of a Messiah. And then a crowd of shepherds, of course it was shepherds, piled into this animal shelter to tell their story of angels announcing the arrival of a great king. With great revelations and grave dangers, Mary brought the baby Jesus forth into the world. What is the mother of the mighty Son of God to do with all of this? In Luke chapter 2, verse 19, it tells us, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." How do you remember the hopes and dreams and promises God showed you about your children? Some collect pictures and some collect videos, some cards and some mementos and even scrapbooks. Hallelujah. This is my scrapbook of the things that my mom has collected about me. And it's only one of them. Hallelujah. There's a birth certificate to Baptist Hospital, Pensacola, Florida. There's the little bracelet that they had around my wrist as a baby, M-O-R-S-E. And here are the... some of you ladies may remember these days, but there are, you can see, there are the diaper pins that I came home from the hospital with, and my mom's hospital band, Faith, Judith Morse. There's little cards here, a little gift for me from the Glass family and others from way back in the day. There's even meal things. Lists of menus of what they ate, what they served her, and pictures from Bruton, Alabama, that's way back in the day. Amen. There's even hair and DNA here from my first haircut. And then there's also one from my first balding. Hallelujah. DNA evidence. There's a right foot, a left hand, a right hand. And there's even my first scribblings back in 1970 and 1971. Coloring of pages of scribble scrabble. And then it starts to transition to more complicated things. And I was even in Head Start in New York City in 1974. Yes, I was not a very bright child. Praise God, but it worked. It helped. Yeah. And I've got a cap here, a white cap here from my kindergarten graduation. And I've even got a diploma. This service certifies that Robert W. Morse II has completed the kindergarten course of study at PS 20 School and is therefore entitled to this kindergarten diploma given at commencement this 13th day of June 1975. Principal was Santos. Teacher was Jill. I don't remember anything. I do remember the pistachio ice cream cone that I got for my graduation, but I don't remember who my teacher was. I don't really remember any of my teachers till about the third grade I remember Mr. Matheson because I remember that I woke up in the third grade and started to realize that my brain started working, I guess, in the third grade. And so the class that I was in, I was advanced beyond what they were doing, getting done early, got in lots of trouble, got picked up and carried out of class by my ear. As a friend of mine. I remember that. An important memory. We have our pet names, and given a few minutes of conversations, the stories will start flowing from a heart that is full. Do you remember what that priest said in the temple? Do you remember how Elizabeth shouted when I went to visit her? Do you remember that nosy cow when Jesus was born in that stable in Bethlehem? Do you remember those strange wise men who came to worship Jesus and give him gifts? Yes, of course I remember. How else could we have started this carpentry business? Do you remember the time we left him in Jerusalem? Now, don't go blaming that on me again. Hallelujah. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not just the musings and recollections of his disciples. They are built on the stories and memories treasured in the hearts of Mary. This is a godlike trait to ponder, to treasure, to guard secrets, hopes, and memories of his children. His thoughts, the Bible says, towards us are without number. His love for us is without limit. Everything is meticulously recorded in his scrapbooks and memory books in heaven.
That's right.
And mothers are not just passive spectators. They are active participants in God's divine plans for their children. They observe, yes, but they are also curators and facilitators of the divine plan for their children. She recognizes the sovereign effects of God over the birth of her children. She ponders with hopeful import the impact their lives will have on the world. And divine communiques are indelibly branded on her conscious mind. She doesn't understand every detail. She abides patiently, knowing that God will unfold his plan in due time. She's tormented at any threat to the sovereign's perfect design for their lives. She's thankful for a husband who has dreams from God and knows how to protect their little family. She is present at every stage to watch, to support, and to witness the rites of passage as God fills in the blanks. Mary becomes the curator of the Messiah's heritage, of his calling. She becomes a source of his moral strength. She oversees as he grows in favor with God and with men. She knows when to prompt his first miracle, and she knows when to step back and let her child shine and fulfill his call. Four pastors were discussing the merits of the various translations of the scriptures. One liked the King James Version best because of its simple yet beautiful English prose. Another liked the New International Version because of its modern language. A third preacher liked the Message Version even better and felt more relevant teaching from a simple paraphrase. For a while, in a little debate, the fourth pastor was silent. And when asked to express his opinion, he replied, "I like my mother's translation best." The other ministers asked, "Your mother translate the Bible?" And he replied, "Oh yes, she certainly did. My mother translated the Bible into her everyday life, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw." It says in Deuteronomy 6:6-7, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." She's there at the cross as a sword pierces her heart. She is astounded and bursting with pride as she sees him alive against all odds. She gushes with inexplicable joy and rapture as the tongues like fire rests on her and she's filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somehow through all the joy, through her pain, through her hopes, and through her disappointments, she she is changed. She has been shaped into the image of God. She has developed and grown in love and grace. Her knowledge has become deep. Her discernment is heightened, and the process of bearing and raising her children has given her purpose. It has given her a saving grace. And her heart is bursting every day with priceless treasures. Everybody say that, mother's treasures.
Mother's
treasures. Let's bow our heads together in this prayer. Lord, we pray for our mothers today. What they go through and what they endure. No one understands, no one knows. Just the two of you. We pray that you would keep them trusting in you, growing in you, and let every lie that has been built up to discourage them, to convince them that somehow you have never been involved in the process, or that they so terribly messed it up that it can never be repaired. Bring those lies down and let the vision, the treasure of their children be reminded to them fresh and the new. And the love that only a mother can have to be stirred up in them afresh and anew. And to be able to reach out and to curate and to facilitate. Even as their grown children go into their own things, to bring the divine plan of God to pass in their lives. Help them in the work that you have called them to do. Lord, we pray for their children, that they would come to honor their father and their mother, as the Bible says, that they would come to, as the proverb says, listen to the words of their mother, listen to the words of their of the wisdom that comes from her, and the deep love and the deep vision and treasure that she knows God has her hand on this child. But these children grow to appreciate, grow to respect, and grow to become all that their mothers have raised them to be. And I pray for the marriages, and also for the widows, and those that are single and raising children, Father, that you would give them strong relationships, encouraging relationships, and all the support they need, and more, and what's appropriate. Great amounts of love, we pray today, in the name of Jesus. We pray, O God, for their hearts. O Lord Jesus, so big, so strong, like Fort Knox. No one can get in there and get to those treasures. Let the greatest treasure, the most amazing treasure that they have ever known or experienced, is to know that you love them and that you are so intimately involved in every aspect of the work that you have called them to do. Let them know your love so that they can share a real love with their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. God, we pray a great blessing on all of our mothers today. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Being here for this moment. And, I know that it's easy to look back and worry about the past. And it can be tempting to look forward and crave the future. But just be thankful for right now.
Every day.
Amen? And I know that we need to be careful and cautious and be aware and be loving towards one another. But before you go, find a few mothers and tell them that you love them. Find a few saints of God, a few friends in the house, a few family members, and just If it's appropriate, give them a hug, give them a handshake before you go today. And just spread one more handful of love seeds before you leave the place. You do that? And also remember, we didn't have a food giveaway this month due to the shifting sands in our culture. And so, but we were able to give away quite a bit of food to a short list that we have of people that normally attend. And there are a few things left. And you can see Sister Sue in the back right after church. And if you know somebody that could use a box or two of groceries, we can give you more than you can carry. And so don't forget, next week, just feed my sheep. Kitchen will be open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And for lunch at 11:30, thanks to all of our hardworking volunteers that are there all the time doing that. And let's pray for that. Remember that in your prayer. How many of you have Feed My Sheep on your prayer list? And you pray for Feed My Sheep, and you pray God will reach the lost there. And then Wednesday night, we'll still be continuing with our Midpoint Bible study, How Not to Be a Person God Hates. And really, we're teaching you how to be a person God loves. Amen? Amen. And then on Friday night, is our fourth anniversary for Feed My Sheep. And at 7 p.m., we'll be having a celebration service. At 6 p.m., we'll be having this. Everybody say six.
Six.
Let's count one. Ready? One, two, three, four, five, six. We changed it because it was seven for a while, and we just got started back. It's been going great. So come and be a part of the celebration, and bring some love and some joy with you when you come to lift up everybody this day. Let God use you. Let Him find. I bet you that if you come, that God will find a place for you to fit in.
Amen.
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 And invite someone, church witness to somebody, love somebody this week. Let's bow our heads as we prepare to dismiss. Lord, we thank you so much for all the good testimonies that we've heard today.